There is a wonderful prayer from the Iona community, among many such wonderful prayers from that small and holy island just off the coast from Scotland. And it is one of the prayers that they say just before the beginning of the Eucharist. The prayer is entitled, "The Whole Earth Shall Cry Glory," and this is that prayer. Almighty God, Creator, this morning is yours, rising into fullness. This summer is yours, dipping into autumn. Eternity is yours, dipping into time. The vibrant grasses, the scent of flowers, the lichen on the rocks, the tang of seaweed, all are yours. Gladly, we live in this garden of your creating. Amen. For me, this prayer beautifully captures one of the most important and most significant and one of the most potentially life-altering elements of our Eucharist. That our thanksgiving for God at the altar is very much of the here and now. It is of the earth and of you and me. And at the same time, it is very much about the eternal and the everlasting mystery of God. When Jesus says, as he does as we hear in the gospel today, "I am the bread of life," he is, of course, using a metaphor. But I strongly believe this is no simple comparison or parallel. It is a complex image, a very ornate symbol of the new covenant given to us by God from the God incarnate who is still very much with us in the here and now. Still very much with us of the earth, and still very much with us as a part of eternity. I believe for us Christians today, the Eucharist is where we find and experience God on earth, and in that experience, we are connected to a beginning and a beyond greater than our imagination can tell. "I am the bread of life," says Jesus. And from that point on, Christians could and still do hold fast to the surprising and liberating and pivotal idea that the Eucharist is an intrinsic and meaningful communion with God and with each other, and a pure and fresh communion with our God. At all churches I have been to, as a student, or a priest, or a visitor, as the congregation comes up for communion, I am always struck by the power of its equality. Rich and poor, young and old, infirm and healthy, faithful and questioning, all come together. No matter where we are in life, and I believe we are all in some way broken individuals in need of God's grace, and at the Eucharist we all receive an equal measure of it, which is to say, an endless supply. One of my favorite words of distribution for the bread is the body of Christ, food for the journey. Life is a journey and a mystery, and so is our walk with God. But in the Eucharist, I think we get just a glimpse, just a glancing touch of the Almighty. It is where we all experience the real presence of God. There are, of course, various ways in which I, as a priest, might relay my thoughts about the feeling of the Eucharist, but I think homilies, sermons, would seem to provide the most obvious venue. I think it is both right and important for a priest to spell out her or his theology regarding the Eucharist and the other sacraments, and the sermon can provide the time and attention needed to convey what can be a deeply involved religious study. What I would like to make especially clear here today is that I believe there is potential in the Eucharist for personal and communal transformation. God's banquet is open to all, including imperfect people like you and me. The love of God found in the Eucharist compels us to support and to love each other through its abundant grace and absolute equality. Any individual can, of course, reject this. They can put aside their imperfections and reject their equality with all others. They can come to the table and even reject God's love. However, I would see it as the church's continuing mission to educate people about God's love found in the Eucharist and what it can mean for all of us. It enables all of us and empowers all of us with the knowledge that we are all, to some degree or another, damaged, deficient, and flawed human beings that can grow in Christ and become better people. Genuine love is transformative, and the Eucharist invites us to change, and this change is an ongoing, lifelong process. In my thinking about the sermon this week, I wondered what bit of wisdom that I could give you. I wondered what would be the important message that I would want you to ponder from the words of Jesus when he says, "I am the bread of life." I gave this some considerable thought and came to realize that the essence of what I wanted to say to you is something I know this community already understands very well. If you concentrate the sum and substance of the beauty of the religion that we call Christianity down to its heart, I believe you get this fundamental principle, that God loves you more than you can possibly know, and the joy and the peace and the hope that we get from that love we need to share with each other. I know this congregation understands this well, and when I see it when we greet people, I see it at our famous and delectable potluck lunches and dinners, I see it in the incredible generosity this church gives in outreach to the greater community, and among many other things, I see it in the peace that we share with each other each week. So the wisdom I share with you is already here in abundance. And so instead of some sort of wisdom this week, I will leave you with a wish as we move forward together into a new year that starts in September. And just as an aside here, I know September is not really the new year. The Christian year starts in Advent, our calendar starts in January. But being a student and then a teacher and then a priest for so many years, I am so ingrained, September is kind of the beginning of the year, so you just have to deal with it. And we do kind of move forward from there. But my wish for all of us, as it can best be explained in the words of Jesus that I quoted earlier and what I believe they mean. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And by this, he means he is the bread that has come down from heaven. The Word has become flesh and dwells among us in spirit still. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is continually teaching and incrementally raising our understanding of who he is. He is a counselor and a teacher and an advocate for justice and the voice of the oppressed and craftsman of miracles and wondrous things. He is all of those, but he is also and forever our bread and our wine. Jesus is saying he is in all of us and is a part of all of us. He is saying God is a part of our body, our mind, and our soul. Jesus is saying he wants the love and the light and the peace and the joy and the hope of God to literally flow through us and be a part of who we are in what we eat and the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink. God is so incredibly close and loves us so dearly that all we have to do to realize it in the here and now and give thanks at the altar of God that has no beginning and no end. My wish for all of us is that we continually know Jesus in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and in so doing grow in love and understanding of God and all of God's children. My wish for us is that we may all have the peace and joy and hope that is found and promised to us in the way of God and in the ministry of Jesus. My wish for us is that we will always find communion with God to be a life-altering experience that renews and refreshes us in the here and now and prepares us at the end of a long and beautiful life for the dipping into of eternity. My wish for us is powerful and from the heart, that we continue to run to God with our arms wide open, and in so doing that we may be transformed in wondrous ways. In the second century, Saint Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." My closing wish for all of us this week is that we look into the year ahead, is that we live out that glory, that we live fully alive and learn to lean into the love of God. May God always be with us in the bread and in the wine, so that we may gladly live in this garden of God's creating.